When I was 4 or 5 years old, I started seeing gun violence. I grew up in civil crisis. Most of the guys that grew up that were my age, they became child soldiers. But I refused to be child soldier. I escaped being child soldier at least 2 times. In our country, we had war going on, attacks from different warring factions. I still kept my focus on going to school. Then blessed to be one of those from that generation to be educated, not just in Liberia, but in the US as well.
Success isn't just about what you achieve. It's about living a life that reflects your values and priorities. Welcome to Engineer Your Success, the podcast that helps you lead with intention and live fulfilled.
Welcome to the Engineer Your Success podcast. My name is Dr. James Bryant, your host and guide for designing and living a life where you are winning at work and at home. I wanted to provide some context for today's show, Beyond Roads, Building Liberia's Workforce Through Transportation Infrastructure. This journey began in the midst of the Liberian Civil War. For listeners who may not be familiar with Liberia's history, the country experienced a devastating civil war that began in 1989 and continued with brief interruptions until 2003. The conflict claimed approximately 250,000 lives, about 8% of Liberia's population, and displaced more than half of all Liberians. The war was marked by widespread violence and the use of child soldiers and the collapse of basic infrastructure. It's against this backdrop that our guest's remarkable journey begins. We have Mr. Jackson Jala Yoko here to share his story with you. So listen in as Jackson talks about his childhood, his perseverance, and everything that he's had to overcome.
My name is Jackson Yoko. I was born in Liberia and grew up through our civil conflict that lasted for 14 years. But I still had a passion of being somebody great, being somebody good for myself. So I went to school out here in Liberia, acquired my bachelor's degree in civil engineering, worked for a few years with the United Nations, and I went to the U.S., I went to Dallas, and attended the University of Texas Arlington, and also stayed in Dallas and worked on several projects. I worked on several rail stations for the city of Dallas, that's that station. And I was also quality control on the new Dallas rail project that goes across 5 cities. That's a $1.2 billion project. I also work at the Dallas Fort Worth International Airport, the newest terminal, Terminal E. I was managing a project up to $120 million before coming back to Liberia in February 2024.
So you spent some time working for the United Nations. And so you pursued your education in the States?
I worked with the United Nations Children Farm for 3 years as a project officer before moving. I moved to Dallas in 2017 and continued my education at the University of Texas Arlington, where I did my master's in civil engineering and construction management, focusing on heavy infrastructure highway. In 2022, I graduated, but prior to my entry into the University of Texas, I already started working in the industry. I was working as a quality control manager on several projects, 4 rail stations in Dallas, the new terminal at the Dallas Fort Worth International Airport, and then later on transitioned into commercial construction, where I was working as a project manager for several real estate projects in Dallas, Houston, and by extension, Louisiana.
Did you always have in mind that you were going to equip yourself with skills, knowledge, and abilities and then come back to Liberia?
Yes, I've always had in my mind that I was going to go to the U.S. Since I was 14, I didn't find a way to get to the U.S. But that did not happen until I was in my early 30s. I always had the passion of starting something from scratch. I decided to come to the U.S. to to see how Americans do their construction. I thought just by staying here and depending on what I had from here, my experience was not adequate enough to prepare me to navigate through what I wanted to navigate through and have things done. So I moved to the US and I was blessed or fortunate to have the kind of opportunities I was looking for. And okay. That really added to my experience and gave me the kind of exposure and confidence to move forward with my plans and my vision.
What are your plans and vision? You came back home with a plan and a vision. So why don't you share that with us?
In 2023, I was doing pretty good, but I decided to move back to Liberia and set up my company. The reason I came back, one of the major reasons I came back to Liberia in Africa, especially countries like Liberia, Sub-Saharan Africa, most of our infrastructure work is done by foreigners. So you see people coming from Asia, from some part of Europe, to come and work in Africa. They do most of our major projects. And I think through that means all of our money that we put into our infrastructure goes back to foreigners. So seeing that, I thought that coming back to Liberia would make a huge impact on the locals. That will help me to bring local Liberian training with all of the skills and the experience that I have and also my connections. So I decided to move back to Liberia. And because our government don't have the funding to fund huge infrastructure project, I was fortunate to meet somebody in Dallas who and I, we are working on the PPP model for infrastructure work in Liberia. The PPP is the private-public partnership where a company would take on a project, a special project, and they bring in their own funding through the banking system and implement the project on a concession agreement with the government. After that, when the project is implemented, is completed, the company manage the project with toll gates where they can regenerate their funds maybe for up to 25 years for our scenario.
Okay. So what I'm understanding is that you are looking at what's happening in your country and you're saying these international organizations are coming in. They can help us build infrastructure, but there is no native development of talent happening in that scenario. And one of the things that's important to you is being able to create this pipeline where native Liberians will get the skills and knowledge and be equipped with that talent so that when those international companies leave or they're going to for another project someplace else, Liberia will have the intellectual capacity and infrastructure to sustain itself.
Once these companies are done, because we don't have too much funding for infrastructure, so they leave. And when these projects start to experience the need in maintenance, who's going to maintain them? So one way to make our infrastructure very sustainable is to have native Liberian involved with the construction, and afterward, they can also stay back to maintain it. And also the maintenance cost is going to be very low because you're using locals.
I applaud you for having your big dream, right? You're looking at what the state of the infrastructure is. You could have easily stayed in Dallas. You could have easily stayed in the States, continue to make money and continue to just have a great existence or great life. But for you, it's important to make sure you're making that investment back home. So if there's someone listening and they're thinking about making a similar choice, what are some pieces of advice that you would have for them?
One thing I want to say is it's kind of very challenging. You know, one of the major things that you're going to experience is acceptance. Once you stay away from Africa for some time, when you get back, your level of thinking and the way that people think here is a little bit different. So trying to navigate through that would be a little bit challenging. Also, for my scenario, I have to leave my job. And I don't come from a wealthy family. I come from a very poor country, but I have to leave my job in Dallas and come start from scratch. So you have to get prepared that if you want to do this, because it's going to take some time. If you find an investor who's waiting to put their money on the line, it's going to take some time to get money from the bank. And it's going to take some time to get local approval from the government because it has to go through legislation. So there's a lot of challenges that you have to be waiting to accept and mitigate.
Okay. So what would you say is some qualities that you've exhibited or that you see that allows you to be able to navigate these challenges? Because you're in the middle of navigating these challenges right now.
When I was 4 or 5 years old, I started seeing gun violence. I grew up in civil crisis. Most of the guys that grew up that were my age, they became child soldiers. But I refused to be child soldier. I escaped being child soldier at least 2 times. I escaped from the guys. They tried to catch me and I slipped off their hands. So with all of the what was going on in our country, we had war going on. We had, you know, attacks from different warring factions from different angles. We stayed young, but we still kept our focus. I still kept my focus on going to school. Being blessed to be one of those from that generation to be educated, not just in Liberia, but in the U.S. as well. When I came to America, it was very challenging. How do I go to an American school that are very expensive? But I work hard, I pay my own fees, and I don't owe a cent. So that courage, that passion to make things happen is still with me. So I don't look at challenges. I know there will always be challenges, and I don't sit in my comfort zone trying to be great. So, yeah. That's why I came. Before coming here, there are a lot of other Liberians that told me, no, don't go back to Liberia. It's not good out there. But I said, no, that's my hometown. That's where we come from. If we have to change it, then it has to be us making the change. So, yeah, that's why I'm here.
I think that is amazing, man. How did you escape the situations or navigate that through childhood? That has to be a really tough situation.
Yeah, James, I was 4 years when we had our civil conflict in 1990. All of my childhood was, that conflict lasted for 14 years. So all of my childhood were mixed into running from one location to another as IDP and sometimes refugee. We went to neighboring Ivory Coast. We have to walk 3-4 days to get to our next destination, running from conflict. That was so challenging. Some of the young men who couldn't stand that because the different warring factions, the rebel warring faction, hired young men that they recruited and gave them gun. That gave some of the young men power. So they have power, they have authority, so they stay around, but that destroyed their future. But for me, my mother took me out to neighboring Aracles, and we came back and continue with our schooling. Every time we had some insurgent, we moved from that location and moved to the next place. My mother was also a teacher. She homeschooled me a lot too. So that also helped me to be who I am today.
Where the factions are giving young men guns and those them power. But yeah. It seems like your mother gave you education and you've leveraged that education into power.
A lot of young men got their lives destroyed because they don't just give you gun. They give you gun. They give you drugs to make you brave, you know. And young men having a gun, he thinks that he's on top of the world. So some of them, most of them got killed. Some of them got wounds, injuries. Yeah, there's so many here. They're affected.
Wow. And so you can be an example of perseverance, being able to put through all of those things to create something great, to create something different.
When all of this comes to fruition, my project come to reality, that'll be some of my greatest passion to share with the other guys that I know who kind of mess up their lives because they were, you can't blame them because kids, they were cheering and they were giving arms to go and fight for people that they don't know. But I was blessed to have my mother directing my path.
That's absolutely phenomenal. So is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience?
Africa is open for business. Many countries in Africa are looking for the kind of expertise we have in the U.S. And when you come to Africa, you just got to be open and look for the best kind of opportunity to invest into. And for example, our country here, Liberia, we have 43,000 square miles of land area, but we have not even occupied up to 10%. We have so much space for farming. And some people who want to invest into the futurist industry, we don't have typical Black African or maybe Black American that have a futurist industry in Liberia. But we have our coastline is 300 miles of coastline. That's how long our country is along the coast. So that's some area you could invest in and create a kind of supply chain where you're going to supply African Americans in America or seafood just from here and like there. So Africa is open.
Yeah, what I really find interested about kind of scenarios that you're setting out, it's not, hey, come here, buy property, or come here and have a vacation spot. No, come here, set up a business. Let's set up a supply chain that goes back to the point you were making before. You want to be able to build up the local economy, build up the local workforce.
Because that's the only way we're going to move forward. Most of our jobs here, especially in the engineering sector, is done by foreign experts. And our future industry is run by foreign experts. So if we can have Africans, African Americans, investing their time and money into this, now you also have going, you also want to have place to have vacation, not just job. Now you can have a second home. You can always come back to Liberia. It's not very expensive to build a home here, like comparing to the U.S. If I had $200,000, I would have something very massive. So you see, and you can put your home on it. What's the one? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, a lot of opportunities. Okay. So what I'm going to do now is something that I've been recently doing. We're going to shift perspectives, and I'm going to give you the quote-unquote microphone as the interviewer, and I'm going to become the interviewee. You can ask me any question that you want.
James, it's nice being here with you again. What motivated you to establish Engineering Associates?
I would say for me, it was looking at the things that I went through in my own life in designing and living a life where I could win at work and at home. And as I talked to friends or other people would observe what I was doing, they would say, hey, you have something good going on there. You're building something great with your family. I like the way that you approach life and work. You may need to do something with that. After this was happening year after year, I said, okay, I'll listen and see if there's some merit to that. And then started to launch Engineer Your Success, both the podcast and the company, to help engineering professionals and leaders design and live a life where they can win at work and at home.
So how does my story help your business, your podcast, to move out there and motivate people?
That's another great question. So Jackson, I think your story is one of overcoming adversity and not allowing the circumstances that are presented to you to determine your outcome and your future. And what you're doing in building the company that you're building back home in Liberia with your passion for building up the workforce, I think that's something that can resonate with a lot of people. They could be going back to their neighborhood or going back to their hometown to build something great. Or they could be going back to an old ideal that they had that now has been resurrected or resuscitated that they want to do. And so it's this whole story of perseverance. Do not fear going back to build something great.
Right. Yeah, I think cool. Thank you for your responses.
No, I appreciate you, Jackson. And I'm going to end this podcast episode like I end every podcast episode, and that's this. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it. And there's a select number of people that actually follow through, do it, and are building something great. Jackson, I want to thank you for being part of that select few.
Thank you, Dr. Bryant. It's my pleasure being here with you.